So tonight, we are going to tell you again about the gospel. I don't think there's anybody here who has never heard the gospel. I know there's a few of you here who have not accepted the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. So if you're here and you've heard the gospel, you know it's a very simple message. But we use at different times different pictures and different illustrations to tell you about the gospel. So tonight, we're going to read about a man who was sick. We're going to read about a man who had a disease. In 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1. We're going to read about this man who was sick, this man who had this disease, and we're going to talk about how this man who is sick is like each one of us with our sin. We're going to compare this man to each one of you tonight. So 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy, or he could heal him. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and this said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent, or he tore his clothes, and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes, or why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. Naaman was angry, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake on him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then, when he said unto you, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, to Elisha, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And we'll stop there. So we read about this man Naaman, this man who was sick. He was sick with a disease called leprosy. Leprosy was a very serious disease, and there was no cure. So what I want to do now is I just want to talk about a few different things that you notice when you read this part of the Bible. And I want to compare those things to us with our sin. The first thing is, the sickness was known. They were aware of the sickness. They knew the name of it. It was leprosy. They knew that Naaman had leprosy. Now tonight, you know, and we know, that each person has within them a sickness. If you look out at the world, you know that there's things that are not right. Things are not the way they should be. People do terrible things to each other. People do things to other people that are not right. There's people who steal from other people. There's people who lie to other people. There's people who kill other people. People have done terrible things in the world, and we can see that there is something wrong in the world. So the world has a problem. But what about you? What about me? There are people who have done terrible things. But what about you and me? Leprosy only affected some people. Only some people had leprosy. But everyone has this sickness that we're talking about tonight. Everyone is affected by this sickness. We all have symptoms. When you have a sickness, there are symptoms of that sickness. When you have a cold, you get a runny nose. When you have a flu, you have other problems. There are symptoms of the sickness. And this sickness that we have tonight, you can see in your own behavior, you show symptoms of this sickness. One of those symptoms of this sickness is maybe not listening to your parents, not obeying your parents. Another symptom of this sickness is hurting your brother or sister, doing something to harm them. So you can see that not only people who do very, very bad things are people who have this sickness. Everyone who does something like that is displaying symptoms of the sickness. And you see, when you have a sickness, when you have something wrong with you, a disease, there's sometimes certain tests you can do to find out what kind of disease it is. Sometimes you won't know immediately what kind of disease it is without doing certain tests. And for the sickness I'm talking about tonight, there is a test you can take. You can compare yourself tonight to God's law to see if you have this sickness. God's law was given to show man God's standards. It is because of God's law that we can see tonight that we have this sickness called sin. Now, to be considered free of the disease of sin, the sickness of sin, you would have to pass all of God's laws. You would have to not have broken any of God's laws. Not only that, you would have to have not even had the desire to break one of God's laws. Not only that, you would have to not only not do anything bad, but always remember to not fail to do anything good. Because even that is considered by God sin. And all those things are symptoms of what is wrong inside each one of us. Symptoms of a sin nature that we all have. God's law reminds us that each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we have never had to be taught how to do bad things. Nobody's ever told you how to take a toy away from your brother or sister. Nobody's ever told you how to ignore your mother. It just happens so easily. It's so easy to do these things. But to obey your parents, to obey God's word, to show kindness, these things are very hard. These things all take a lot of instruction, and often we slip up and forget. So God's law reminds us that we have this sickness. God's law shows us that we have the sickness of sin. So the sickness is known. That's the first point. The next thing is, there is no human cure. Naaman had this disease of leprosy, this sickness of leprosy. There was no human cure. No human had made a medicine or a treatment that would take away Naaman's leprosy. That is why he was still a leper. He was to the point where he was without hope of ever being cured of his leprosy, probably, because there was no human cure. those who were lepers, once they were confirmed to be lepers, they were kept away from other people. They were outcasts. They were considered outcasts. And they would live only with other lepers for the rest of their lives. They would have no physical touch, no physical contact with other people in the world. There was no cure. Once you had it, you were exiled from other people until death. Now, like leprosy, sin has no human cure. Now, people like to think, I'm sure even the youngest, I've heard my own children say that they are not as bad as somebody else, that they haven't done a thing as bad as somebody else, and they'll give you examples of why they are not that bad. People like to think that they're not infected with sin, that they're not sick with sin, that they're mostly able to do good. And just sometimes you slip up a little bit. Sometimes you make a mistake. Not at all like we read in the Bible about sinners. But like we spoke of earlier, we have a test you can take to see if you are free from sin. God's law is that test. And what God's law reveals is that no human being on the planet, no person on the planet, has ever stopped being a sinner on their own. Nobody has ever stopped on their own, through their own efforts, committing sins against God. There is no cure made by man for this disease. There is nothing you can do on your own. On your own, you are without hope, and you will be without God. But there is hope. There is a cure. There is a cure for the disease of sin. Now, the next thing I want to bring out of what this message is teaching us is that the cure was offensive. The cure was offensive. It made you feel bad. Now, Naaman was a proud man. Naaman, in his group or in his land, he was a pretty special man. He had a lot of influence. We read that he was a mighty man in valor. By him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So he was a brave man, a very special man. But he was proud. He thought he should get some special attention from this prophet Elisha. He thought Elisha would come down and perform some special ceremony, and it would not at all make him feel bad, and he would go on his way and be happy and be free from his leprosy and never see Elisha again. Another thing he was upset by was he was going to have to wash in the muddy River Jordan. The River Jordan, I haven't seen it myself, but I wonder if it doesn't look a little bit like the Red River. You can't see to the bottom. It's dirty. It's muddy. It's brown. It's not a clear river. He wanted to go and wash maybe in a nice blue river that you could see right to the bottom, something that would not offend him so much. Now, something that Naaman had to realize was that he had to decide if he was too proud to accept the cure. He had to overcome his pride. His servants spoke to him, but he had to overcome his pride to remember how badly he wanted to be freed from his sickness. He had to be reminded that his sickness was a terrible thing. This leprosy he had was going to take his life. He had to be reminded of this to be able to overcome his pride. Now, even young children have pride in them. And maybe you don't know it as such, but it's that thing that won't let you back down when you know you're wrong. It's that thing that stops you from giving your sister or brother first place. It's that pride. So Naaman's pride had to be overcome, and so it is for you tonight. If you want to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your pride has to be overcome. So you can't come to God tonight and say, I think I'm pretty good. I think I'm not too bad, but I also want your way of salvation. I'm not a really bad person, but I want to be saved. If you want to be free from your sin, if you want to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and have your sins washed away from you and be free from that disease of sin, you have to know that there's nothing that you can bring to God that will make you look good in His sight. There is nothing that you can do. There is nothing special that you can offer God if you want to be free from your sin. On our own, all the things that you can do, you are only condemned. And with this sickness of sin, it shows you are guilty of breaking God's law. And your sin is going to lead not only to your eventual physical death, but it's going to lead to a final destination called hell. This is eternal separation from God. This is eternal separation from the one who loves you, the one who created you. So God has given us instruction in His Word for a cure for our sin. God has made a way for our sin to be cured, for our sin problem to be cured. And that is no other way but the death and the resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, it is not easy, and the older you get, the harder it is. It is not easy for us to admit that there's nothing good that we can bring God. And it's going to cause a little bit of discomfort to admit, to come to this point. But just like Naaman, you have to decide if it's important enough for you to be free from your sickness. Like Naaman, it was important for him to be free from his leprosy. So he surrendered his pride. And if you're going to be free from your sin, you will have to surrender your pride. And you will have to admit who you are as a sinner before God in order to receive the Lord Jesus. So we see there is only one cure, and it's from God, and it's the only cure. We can read in John chapter 14, verse 6, we see Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father, but by me. No man comes unto the Father, but by me. Jesus said, I am the way. He's not a way. He's the way to the Father. And how is He the way to the Father? I'm sure each one of you over the age of 4 probably knows the answer to this question, but I'll show you. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, Paul is speaking, he's writing, and he says, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So the Lord Jesus, He died on the cross to pay for our sin, to pay for the cure for our disease of sin. And how can you have your sin removed tonight? Romans 10 verse 9 says, If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means you're not afraid to talk about Him, to confess that He is the Lord, that He is the Savior, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So in your heart, you recognize that the Lord Jesus is the only one who can pay for your sins. He's the only one, and He has done it through His death on the cross, through shedding His blood. He has paid for your sins, and He satisfied God on account of your sin because God brought Him back to life. So tonight He is alive. But tonight, you have to decide, and you're going to decide tonight. When you are getting ready to go home, you're going to decide if this message is for you. Now, some people talked to the Lord Jesus in Luke 5, verse 30. They said, the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Why does the Lord Jesus spend time with bad people? And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole," or those who are not sick, "need not a physician or a doctor, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So some people, called the righteous, those who think they're righteous, they refuse to believe that they are sick. Now there's not much a doctor can do for somebody who refuses to believe that they are sick. It is those who know they are sick, those who know they have a sin problem, that the Lord Jesus came to cure. It's those who are able to be treated by the doctor. They know they have a problem. Now, with your sin is taking, we talked about this, your sin is taking you in a direction, and that direction is death and separation from God. Now, today, unlike leprosy, this is a difference from your sin. Leprosy kept people out of the world. Today, your sin is not going to keep you out of the world, but your sin will keep you out of heaven. Your sin is going to keep you away from God. Now, there's a separation between God and sin, and it's not because God is afraid of getting sick. It's not because God is afraid of being infected by sin. But the true root of sin, where sin comes from, is rebellion against God. It's saying that I don't want you to rule over me. That is the true root of sin. So sin, that attitude, cannot be present in heaven. So without the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you cannot be in heaven. So if you believe this message is not for you, if you believe that you don't need the Lord Jesus, then there is no room for you in heaven. There is no room for rebellion against God in heaven. Now the last thing I want to say about this is that this cure, the cure that Naaman received, it required an act of faith before seeing any results. So seeing was believing, was opposite in this case. Believing is seeing. The only way Naaman could know if Elisha's instructions would work out was if he followed them. He could have thought about it. He could have talked about it. He could have talked to his servants and hemmed and hawed. He could have gone and looked at the River Jordan. He could have even gone down once or twice into the river. But until he washed in the river 7 times, in and out, just like Elisha said, nothing was going to happen. So just like this, there is no way for you to know how real it is to have your sins forgiven until you trust the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. Now, people will talk to you about it. People who have trusted the Lord Jesus can talk to you about it. They can tell you what it's like. But there is no way for you to really know what it is to have your sins forgiven until you trust the Lord Jesus yourself. Romans 10 and 9 again says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so our prayer tonight, that you would trust the Lord Jesus.